Eastern wisdom. And I was an engineer before I was a coach designing robots. So what you're seeing here, then the amalgamation of the multi-tiered wisdom coming together to produce an effective result. And in my view, then the human beings are not singular objects. We have multifaceted layers. We are, we have about 30 some millions of cells that are receiving and responding to each moment. We have layers of color. We have layers of wiring running through our system, which we call it meridians. We have a vagus nerve, like an internal hub of network, delivering information to the different parts of the body. We have each organ have their own intelligence and responding to the moment. So then, if we are not necessarily as a coach hearing where might be the originating issue in the system, human system, we may be defaulting our own way of communicating, which is often through the analytical mind, then we're not using the right language to facilitate the change. When we access to the easier way to explain, if somebody is talking to you as a coach and from the position of a client, expressing their self through the emotion, and your default language is thinking, as a coach, you translate their emotional language into thinking and often produce a response from the thinking domain. Then what you have done is to translate the original text into another language that often doesn't produce the optimal response. In order to find the right response, we need to be in the right realm. So that's what I call it, a mastery, to coach's ability to recognize which language of access to utilize in their responses to the client, and producing a response from that space brings us into the mastery, in my view. Obviously, somebody else might define that in a different way. So let's do this, our first practice together. For this, what we are going to do is that I will utilize Sonara to give you sound waves. As I do that, I'm going to ask you to start in the center of your heart, and slowly, very slowly, move your hands apart while sensing with your hands the distinction, if any, as you move your hands apart, what is happening in your energetic field. I'm going to ask you to reach your hands as far as the end of your energetic field. And sometimes your hands may not reach to the end of it. That's all right. Just recognize where your hands end, where your energy fields end. And then I will invite you to come back to center. Clear? All right, let's do this. So settle into your seat. Close your eyes if that helps you. Bring your hands in the center and let's start. Follow the waves slowly. Start to separate your hands apart, feeling the vibrations between your hands, noticing the qualities of your energetic field. As you expand your hands, notice the distinctions, if any, as your hands widen apart, whether there is a change in the density, temperature, quality, color, sound. When your hands find the edge of your energetic field, notice the qualities of that edge for you, and then see how that edge touches to the others, to the universe. And then when you find the edge, slowly, gently start returning back to your heart center, noticing again the qualities of the field, the temperature, color, whatever that may be for you. And eventually we come back to the heart center. Welcome home. So let's talk about it. What happened? Nothing much.
I can say something.
Yes.
So I felt vibration in hands, and it was really interesting because I've done this exercise with rubbing the hands, but never with sound. So you can feel, I can translate into words, but you can feel some vibration and expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I reached the limit or not, because I felt like waves. I don't know how to explain, but it was interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Anyone else? Nahum?
I don't know if it is this or not, but I felt not vibrations. I felt like heat and pulsing in my fingers, and it was expanding, and then as if it stopped for a while, and then as time went by. Again, it started to be warm and pulsing, and it seems like I didn't reach the end of it, but it was like in steps, like reaching a point, then waiting a few seconds, then filling up and pushing more, something like that.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you, Nahum. Absolutely, there seems to be layers in our, the most dense layer that we call it the body, but the magnetic field expands a lot more. Thank you. Claudia?
So I, at the beginning, I could sense the warmth and the energy, but it was curious because as I went further away from the hands, I felt the increase of the energy field. Mm-hmm. And then when you talked about colors, the yellow was the color. Okay. And it, just like natural, I felt like I didn't reach to the end of the field.
Yes, beautiful. You can already see how unique we are, right? Our preferences and sensing, and some feels more temperature-wise, some feel more color-wise. That's why I was asking each of you to different cues for that. Beautiful. Suzette, and then Terry and Charlotte.
For me, it was like Nahum, it was a heat, some sort of heat. And I didn't realize it was really, let's say, tangible, I could say. And after that, it was a little bit decreasing towards the edge, and but didn't stop.
Yeah.
I didn't get to the, I didn't reach the limit. And when you said that we are coming back, so I, and it was interesting. I didn't think that I had this kind of energy.
Well, let me introduce you to your beautiful energy, yeah? Thank you, Suzette. Yes, it's often that you could also see the distinction, right? Belen felt much more energy density as she was reaching out, and we're hearing the other way for some of you. So that's okay. There is no right or wrong way. It's just that our unique beauty. Thank you for that, Suzette. Terry E?
I had one additional experience not mentioned yet. At about halfway to the limit, which was limitless, my hands started getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and it felt like a heavy leather glove and weights. So I almost couldn't keep the hands up when they got further out to the end. Very heavy.
Thank you for that. I wonder that if it's your permeability to worldwide sensitivity and what you were receiving from the field. So that also gives us our preferences as highly sensitive beings.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And Charlotte, and we'll go to Natalie afterwards.
Charlotte, you're not on.
Oh, Charlotte. Sort of a rich pink. Orange pink. And then as I expanded, I got to a gold, light gold, and then the universal white or light. And then as I came back in, I was expecting the pink again, and it turned green as I got close to the heart center.
Oh, of course. Yes, beautiful, right? I mean, I usually, when I teach chakras and energy centers, I avoid giving standard colors to people. But if you could see that how, as you come to the center of the heart, which is often color is green, right? And so you can see only green color is associated with the heart center. So you could actually see each layers and colors. What a beautiful reception for you.
Well, it was a special thrill because taking into account perceptual thinking patterns, I tend to lead with the auditory, and theta is visual for me.
Yeah.
And I guess that I went to theta and got all the dream colors. Thank
Absolutely. You. You're welcome. That was good. I'm glad I helped you connect. Thank you, Charlotte. And Natalia?
For me, it was like a combination of a little bit everything. When I think that when I start, I could not, was very warm, heat. I can feel that it was very, very warm. So I would like to just continue. And then the color was green. when you just think on a color, I say, okay, it could be green. Was like very, at one point of time was like very, very heavy. And, but the thing is that my heart at that stage started like beating with more frequency. And that is like, I was like, oh, aware of my heart, you know, not with my hands, just with my heart.
Yes.
And this happened to me. It's like start beating more often.
Beautiful. Thank you. So it could be that it's such a beautiful segue into what we're going to do next, right? That we think about accessing in the talk coaching, accessing the memories and emotions and so that through the analysis. But where are the emotions? It seems like in Natalia's experience, she was touching some of the things that stored in the field that were animating the heart back again for her. So it's interesting to see. And then if we're lacking that language to present and have the dialogue with the client, then we'll miss that. So let's get right into that. And what we're going to do next then is to, when we are coaching, right? Where is the client's memory they are talking about? Often that we are doing a memory recall to associate the new experience with the previous experiences. And where are the emotions really? So we're gonna practice that now. Same way, I'm going to give you the sound waves with Sonara. And I'm gonna ask you to recall a memory has a significant imprint on you. It could be heightened excitement, it could be more sad, down emotion, whatever that is. Allow that to arise, and then I will guide you to the next. Sound good? Clear? Yes. Let's play. All right, settle into your seats. You could actually follow the Sonara sound waves to guide you into a particular memory arise for you. Once the memory brought itself to our space to partner up with you, notice where that is in your system. Is it inside your body or in the field of energy? If it is in the body, where exactly is it? The heart, the spine, your head, liver, kidney, arms, legs, find where it is. Notice the state of the location. Does it feel tight or spacious? Hot? Cold? What is the temperature? What is the texture look like? Does it have a sound? Does it have a color? Maybe a fragrance. And whatever the thing is coming out for you as its quality, play around with it, like playing with a light dimmer. Adjust its fragrance, the colors, texture to your liking. And notice what it does to the memory then.
slowly come back home. Okay, let's find out what happened now. Carla.
Hello, do you hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was such a very hard experience because it took me to my father's passing a few months ago, and I felt extremely hot here in my chest. Mm. When you talk about some smell, I didn't smell anything at the beginning, but after I smelled that hard, dense smell that we could feel in that room. And I also felt like a heavy, like the biggest weight over my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. So may I ask you some questions about this?
Of course.
Yeah. So very sorry to hear about your dad's transitioning. And what, if anything, that transition might have left you with additional responsibilities, maybe?
Additional for me?
Yes.
Well, not specifically, apart from taking care about my mom even harder than I did before. And all these paperwork.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Yes. So it seems then that memory brought back the heaviness on your shoulder, carrying mm-hmm. the weight along with it. So if this was, let's say, if you, Carla, brought this into a coaching conversation, Tijen, I want to talk about my dad's passing. Now you could see complexity of the emotions with the loss, but also feeling the responsibility when she wasn't fully ready to do that. And if we just get into the intellectually discussion around that, we may miss those indications on the shoulders and additional information that the system was ready to share with us. Thank you.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Anyone else want to share anything? Lourdes?
Yes. Well, I passed the MCC exam a couple of weeks ago, and I had that experience. And, the experience was after the exam. I took a taxi, and I remember that trip, very short trip in the taxi, like that's what I've been remembering. The taxi was very strange because it had a special music, like in a spa or something like that, a very nice smell, and because my telephone didn't work, I couldn't talk to anyone. I just had to be present in that trip. No traffic around. I was just present during that moment. And I was like smelling. The taxi smelled very, very good, very nice. And I had to be in contact with myself.
Mm.
And I was like enjoying that moment. I was like flying. So in a way, I felt like it was like an extra corporeal experience.
Euphoria. Yes.
Something very strange.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, if that fragrance reminded you a flower or anything or any other fragrances, what might that be for you?
Yeah, it was like clean, something clean. Yes.
Yes. So the, like a new beginning, maybe? Clear start?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah,
beautiful. Well, congratulations on the
MCC. Thank you very much.
And you could see then the partnership of the fragrances and other things, how they actually come together within our system and how they are stored. That's what happens when we are doing the memory recall. It could be any of those cues. It could be sound, it could be smell, it could be texture, anything that we don't necessarily know what it is in the forefront of the consciousness. And therefore, we need to go to the right place with the right information and access point. Yeah, thank you, Lourdes. So let's continue then on our dialogue, right?
Can I ask the first slide, what was the exercise, the first with the energy? Can you, the first slide before the emotion? Can you share with me, share with us again?
Yes, sure.
Thank you.
This one?
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. So the idea is that you could see human system, as I call it, humanoids, right? It's not a singular unit. We are layered upon layered upon layer. So we are a system, and so we need to understand it's like a systemic coaching, really, that needs to take place. You're welcome. So this is what then we were doing in a previous exercise when we're coaching, where exactly we are coaching, right? Often that in my methodology, I put people in the restorative yoga poses, such as the ones that you're seeing over here, because this way, it's like when we are doing a talk coaching, we're asked a specific question, but in here, if the client is holding the tension in the low back, that's that. I'm inviting them into that area to let the body expose itself and connect it. And the restorative, I use the restorative poses because then everywhere else is resting. There is then more accessibility to that area so the client can retrieve the information and present it for us to process. So we need to understand when we're coaching, where is it that we are residing, right? For Lourdes, it was a different experience than Carla. So we need to understand where are we and what are we doing in that region? What is the message? So I'm going to give you different perspectives. As an engineer, I often look into different dimensions and synthesize them. Dr. Candice Peirce, she was a biologist. She's no longer with us, but she did a lot of research, and her research, one of the key points that body and the mind are not separate. She worked on the molecules of emotions and how they actually produce certain thought patterns. So they are not separate. We need to understand what's happening into our biology in order to produce a different behavioral response to the outer world. And Dr. Fred Allen Wolf talks about, he's a quantum physicist, that until we perceive the reality, it will not change. So then we need to look at the particle for it to be recognized, and then they can change the behavior. Now, that's one of the most important part of the coaching partnership. That as a coach, what are we doing? We're not fixing anything. We are observing a reality that's being presented to us together with the client, so that reality then can express itself to full potentiality, and so that we can coach around it. So therefore, we need to respond to the client's agenda from the whole systemic awareness and include that in our response holistically when we are responding to whatever they're presenting. And here is the other scientist for you, Dr. Bruce Lipton, that he does a lot of research about how does each cell is intelligent, and through the membrane they make decisions by either closing or opening or staying in the same place. So, and this is this thing, right? How many of you have this, at least a client, that the same topic comes over and over and over again? And that's that. Intellect may be agreeing with you, but some other part of the human structure, the cells, are not in agreement what the intellect says. So how do we get to harmonize the system toward the desired outcome, right? And that's where that I look at the Eastern traditions, such as traditional Chinese medicine, Reiki, Ayurveda. What are they doing? They're looking into where are the disharmonies in the human system? How could we bring them back in harmony? The language is not necessarily healing, but reharmonizing the system. So we need to look into what we perceive as a trauma and how did they turn our system into this harmonic state. And who needs to be heard what, in what way to feel more harmonically aligned. So, and Louis Hay's work talks about how the distorted beliefs causes the dis-ease. So we need to understand what is happening in our perceptional reality that is producing certain hormones or emotions in the body that then keeps us into certain behavioral patterns. So we need to look at it in multiple different ways in the whatever the language the client is expressing with, whether it's the colors, the emotions, the thoughts and the sensations and the heat, whatever they are, we need to use that to facilitate the change in the human system. So how do we get to do that, right? We need to then, as I was asking some questions, to have a dialogue, understand that part, what is that part feeling, and what needs to be different, how did they need to be understood to bring back into the harmony. So in my view, I call that holistic listening and holistic responding. We as a coach, some of you felt and expressed that you couldn't reach the energetic field. That becomes somewhere between intuitive listening as well as spiritual listening. That you may be hearing some things directly from the client's field, that gets into the little bit spiritual listening. Instinctual listening is that you use your own instrument, feel it in your gut, and then present that in your reflections. You also co-sense with the client. Client may be sensing, for example, if we were to discuss, I think it was Ortal brought forward the loss, in the beginning is going to come maybe the sadness, but you may feel as a coach different.
Hey, Carla.
Carla, mm-hmm. Sorry, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, different emotion besides the one that client names, that's when we present, it seems as if there is also this here, how does that resonate with you? Now we are also using our instrument to hear and present, not only what they're saying, that's the partnership. I'm not even going to talk about analytical listening because you all are trained on it so well in the Western mind, right? I don't think it requires any additional information. But if we use our own receptors based on the what is the client wants to talk about, then we can help them into the somatic descent better. And then we can help them to process and response in a much more cohesive way. And let me just take a moment here to check in with you. Any comments, questions so far into what I'm presenting? Yes, Charlotte.
I'm wondering if you take people outside and if the experience of being in nature helps in the coaching.
Absolutely. The picture you saw, me with the two ladies, it was in Jamaica. I was in a resort doing a retreat. And it's much easier to also partner with the nature and their intelligence together to support. Take people outside of also a lot of us, I don't have full-blown capability to see people's energies, but I can recognize them because of the works that I do. And a lot of us, I see, we're walking around like drones. Most of our energy is up here and not necessarily touching the ground. And so, therefore, any way that it's going to help to balance and harmonize the system is going to be helpful, right? Because I have a 23 years of corporate background. And in the corporate world, what you do is that you hire resources to do the job, right? What we do is based on our social conditioning, we employ inappropriate parts of our body to resolve an incorrect problem. For example, we may have a problem that needs to be partnered with the heart to solve. We go in our heads and that becomes unsolvable, right? That I call it inappropriate resourcing. So whatever is going to help us to get into the right place, get in touch with ourselves, to appreciate us and connect and hear is going to be helpful. Thank you for that, Charlotte. Anyone else anything? Okay, then let's keep going. So this is the A method, right? My approach to somatic coaching is not the only method, but what we want to talk about in general, that when we are more inclusive in our coaching, it connects the different parts of the human being. Is it right approach for every coach and every client? Probably not. If you are a coach that you are actually favoring your intellectual capabilities and not necessarily descend into body so much, then this is not the best method for you. And people often ask me, oh, well, how do you do somatic coaching? My clients never want to do that. Some people are not interested in descending into their body as a client. That also needs to be understood and honored. There could be various reasons that, including people with molestations and sexual abuse, it may be harder for them to occupy certain part of the system. But also it depends on the way the coach presents the inquiry. If you ask somebody that are most of the time in their life residing over here, all of a sudden, what does your heart say to this? They're going to say, I don't know, don't ask me that, right? But if you just say, invite them gently, like, I wonder, where is the most energy you're feeling about this in your body? And then they're going to have to go figure out. So there is a way to relate and invite and see where that invite goes. But we cannot just say that this is for everybody, this is for you. You need to have some kind of an interest, right? I am a coach, but I'm also certified yoga teacher, Reiki master. I have an interest in these things, so I use it in my practice. So it needs to be also, there needs to be some level of interest to make it more effective and authentic to you as well. And the reason I developed and used, because I find it that certain things cannot be resolved through the intellect. It's not the right resource to solve a certain problem. I needed to partner. I felt like that there needs to be partnership in a different part of the system. And therefore, I developed that to gain into more authentic and sustainable results. So I think that we already talked about this and considerations on the previous slide, that you need to understand, you understand the context that the client is bringing forward, understand them, and then bring forward this as another strategy for change facilitation and a communication. So I want to leave you with a question, that what are you leaving at the table by not engaging the client holistically? And I'm quickly gonna, before we get into the Q&A, to say, if you like what you heard, you can find more resources on my website, and I also have a podcast. And I wanna leave you, end this with a poetic invocation into our becoming. If you would like to settle into your system one more time, however you would like to receive this poem, let us enter the spiral, not as seekers of answers, but as stewards of perception, where the gaze itself reshapes the world. Let us listen to the membrane, the skin of the cell, the whisper of the body, each pulse a hymn of 50 trillion voices singing in coherence or calling for harmony. Let us honor belief not as doctrine, but as architecture. A lattice of thought that can be softened, resculpted, resung into healing. In this field, we do not fix, we attune. We do not direct, we invite. We do not impose, we respond. Here, the coach becomes a mirror, a tuning fork, a gentle witness to the sacred choreography of change. And in this dance, where the perception meets soma, where energy meets belief, transformation becomes not a goal, but a remembering. All right. So, what would you like to share? Any questions, comments, takeaways, songs, dances? Thank you, Natalia. What would you like to bring into our space?
Can you share with us the poem? This was a poem, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was so beautiful and so accurate, if I can say so. And I will be very happy to have it.
Okay.
It sounded like inspired by Dr. Lipton's work as well.
Yes, all of my content that I presented to you turned into a poem to invoke the energy, yes.
And I was wondering, how do you approach the gut-heart-brain connection, if any?
Yeah, so there is certainly that connection, but I think that there is much more connectivity in the body than those three simplified ways. So I think that we are more in a spectrum of communication through the vagus channel and other ways that, so in my, this is why that on my slide of holistic listening includes more than those three intelligences in to see where the decision needs to be made and how do we sometimes, you know, think about Nahum and everybody. I'm healthy and well. Back in 2019, I went through breast cancer experience. And often the cancer experience starts with one cell's decision to stay disharmonized. One cell can take the whole system down. So therefore, I do not like, as a scientist, I like the research, I like categorization, but as an esoteric teacher, I do not like categorization in a way that takes the spirit out. So we need to really interact with ourselves and others outside of that specific categories and to really understand who is communicating what in where. Is that helpful, Nahum?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, yeah. Thank you for the question. Anyone else anything? Thank you, Carla.
That's a simple resource that everyone have it, is the body, the emotion. It's only to connect it to,
yes,
to ourselves, right? So we only,
yes,
need to have the how do you say, the path to use it and to bring awareness, I think, to us and our clients too.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ortel. In fact, that the latest episode on my podcast, we are discussing this intuition in coaching, that included those, some of those concepts that we all have it. It's just because we're not using it doesn't mean we don't have that. Yeah, thank you. Claudia?
Yes, I've been reading about the vagus nerve and so that has opened, like, on the somatic part, like a whole spectrum of connection. So how to go about it? Because I was really stuck with the brain, the heart, and the gut. And then right now I've been exposed to all this other information. So at the beginning, it's a little bit overwhelming. So what would you recommend?
You could continue to read and take training that resonates with you, and knowing yourself, right? Do you want to incorporate some esoteric systems and more into the scientific, like Stephen Porges and Deb Dana talks about polyvagal theory and everything. But in my approach to neurologic coach training, I call it beyond polyvagal theory, because I want my coaches to be able to get out of these three distinctive things, fight, freeze, and flight response, and all that, to have a dialogue, to uncover what's organically happening, not taking it and putting people into a particular categories that scientists developed. So I would actually recommend you understand your own inclinations about which area to start, and maybe take additional trainings that resonates your path. How is that? Yeah, thank you. Charlotte.
I wrote something the other day that may be germane. I write poetry and edit books. I've come to believe all art is receptive, a gift of nature and imagination, not effort or certitude.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So I think if we are receptive instead and expectant instead of so grasping, things will come to us.
Certainly. Beautifully said. Thank you, Charlotte. Yes, we forget to receive, didn't we?
As we have today. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
So now all you right. know why I
can
say...
turn it back to Terry E. Then it was beautiful to be with you. You can find me at jencocoaching.com if you have additional questions that you can reach out that way.
Now you
thank
know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
now
much.
Now you know why thank I you. Said someone who has thank beautifully you. Meaningful, thank relevant you, content and is a great thank presenter, you. All in one.
Terry, we can't hear you.
Well, you have muted, Terry.
I do my best job when I'm muted. Now you know why I say the combination of meaningful, useful, spiritual, grounded information with a fabulous presenter is a win-win-win. And thank you for giving us permission to put it in the archives of Sun, honoring the confidential information we heard thank at the you. Beginning. Thank you, Tijan. This was wonderful.
Pleasure meeting you all. Take good care, everybody. Nice
thanks a lot. Thank you for your smile.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.